Blog Talk Radio.
You know what gang violence is, mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this? Somebody shoots your family member. So, of course, you retaliate. You know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, somebody bombed a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up. We got to go show them who's the real killers. This country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
Introduce a drug called crack to a ghetto team. Got along for born niggas now. Playing what it be like. When will niggas see they got us leading with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless. With violent thoughts, I wrote this. Got the devil petrified. Hiding from my hopes are broken. And so I learned to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, so we dwell inside of paradise. Thugged out and drug dealing from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit big, we block hits. Or I block stick. All hell, I don't bear wrath. That's apocalypse. Forever ghetto necessary. Picture food stamps. Outlaw thug niggas never left the food stamps.
We got a real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who block the back.
DJ Flash.
From my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death. We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who block the back. From my soldiers to death. From my soldiers to death. We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who block the back.
Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil. Take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Armies in every city, definition of power. Players, are you with me? See the war is the prophecy. Survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, that's the seat. Organize the streets of time. Yeah, any devil petrified of a nigga in his right mind. They tell us that we hopeless and hell bound. It's for the brothers and penitentiary jail bound. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we could do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's the thug rap. Political contracts and bloodbath. From a Toulouse core up in the rockets, though they got you. I never let them stop me. The struggle continues.
Now, if we do want to live a thug life and a gangster life and all of that, okay. So stop being cowards and let's have a revolution. But we don't want to do that. Dudes just want to live a character. They want to be cartoons. But if they really wanted to do something that was that tough, all right, let's start our own country. Let's start a revolution. Let's get out of here. Let's do something.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer. And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, I'm sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. You hear me, Eric?
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land. Revolutionary greetings.
Welcome to another edition of Georgia University Radio. I'm your host, Bumani Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional literacy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to new African mentality. And our fourth goal to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities. Our fifth goal is to prepare a new African prisoner for release, reducing new African recidivism. Let's see, before I bring in a guest now, let's go through a couple of events that happened in week during history. Before I do, I want to salute all the brothers and sisters behind enemy lines who are currently educating themselves, currently educating the masses. Be the masses in the prison population, the masses on the street through publications such as guides, pamphlets, and booklets, and books, as well as what other form of written literature in the forms of pictures and imagery and art, you know what I'm saying, songs. Let's say free all the political prison, all the prisoner wars, long live the resistance. And I'd like to go to the couple, I'm going to go over a couple of events now. On February 7th, Setawa, the great Zulu African who defeated British Army, died in 1884. In 1886, a year later, the department reported that the black unemployment rate fell from 14.9% to 14.54%. In 2003, a Labor Department unemployment report, black unemployment 10.3% and white unemployment 5.1%. On February the 8th, in Orangeburg, South Carolina, the police murdered unarmed black college students in 1968. Also on February the 8th, the first Black History celebration took place in 1926. Also in 1950, W.E. Du Bois was indicted on a federal charge of being an agent for a foreign government. The indictment said Du Bois was an officer of the Peace Information Center, which had the government said directly tied to the foreign government. A federal judge dismissed the case. In 1986, David Thomas became the first black to win the senior U.S. singer figure skating championship. On today's date, on February 10th, James Edward Maceo West is an inventor and Acoustian. He holds over 250 foreign and U.S. patents for the production design of microphones and techniques for creating polymer foil electric sets. He was born in 1931. In 1989, Ronald H. Ron Brown, elected chairman of the Democratic Party, became the first black to head a major national political party. In 1992, Alice Haley, the Pulitzer Prize winning author of Roots, died of a heart attack in Seattle at the age of 70. A television miniseries based on the book set TV records. Haley also co-authored with Malcolm X, the autobiography of Malcolm X. He played a major role in creating the national passion for genealogy. On February 11th, the first black library was founded in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1933. 1961, Robert Weaver sworn in as administrator of the Housing and Home Finance Agency, the highest federal post to date by African American. In 1971, Whitney Young Jr., 49, National Urban League Director, drowned during recreation swim at International Conference in Lagos, Nigeria. In 1977, Clifford Alexander Jr., confirmed as the first black Secretary of the Army. In 1989, the most revered Barbara Harris confirmed as the first woman bishop of the Episcopal Church. In 1990, the African National Congress leader, Nelson Mandela, released from prison after 27 years. The tumultuous crowd greeted the 71-year-old activist. On February 12, 1793, the first fugitive slave law enacted by Congress. The measure made it a criminal offense to harbor a fugitive slave or prevent his arrest. 1853, Illinois legislature passed an act that barred black settlers that said any black who remained in the state for 10 days will be fined or sold into slavery. 1865, Henry Highland Garnett, the first black to speak in the Capitol, delivered a memorial sermon on the abolition of slavery that served in the House of the Representatives. In 1900, James Weldon Johnson and his brother, J. Rosamond Johnson, composed Lift Every Voice and Sing, the African American National Anthem in Jacksonville, Florida. The NAACP was founded in 1909. 1948, the first Lieutenant Nancy C. Leffenat became the first black accepted in the regular Army Nursing Corps. 1962, a bus bar cart started in Macon, Georgia. 1983, Ubie Blake, pianist and composer, died in New York City at the age of 100. In 1988, more than 200 students occupied the African-American Study building at the University of Massachusetts to protest the beating of two black students by six white men. The occupation ended on February the 17th after the university administration accepted a list of racial grievances. Okay. On February the 13th, a lot of people around the world commemorate what we call Black Love Day. In 1818, Absalom Jones, co-founder of the Free African Society and the first black priest, died in Philadelphia at the age of 71. In 1957, the 13th through the 14th, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference organized at New Orleans, meeting with Dr. Luther King Jr. as president. Now I would like to welcome to the show Imam Malaya Shrove. How you doing, good bro?
I'm doing fine. All praises are due to Allah, brother. How you doing? Free the land. Assalamu alaikum.
Vitamin Nessay, Walik Slam, brother. I'm well, brother. It's a pleasure to have y'all. First, I want to thank you for coming to y'all broadcast, sharing now that we're understanding. Thank you for the work you're doing, the work you're getting the president, the work you're doing in the past, and the work you're going to do in the future. And first off, can you tell the people about yourself, who you are, where you're coming from, what you stand on, so we can get into this, get into the meat of this conversation?
Praises are due to Allah. First, before I begin, let me say, I seek refuge in Allah from Satan, the one that is despised and rejected, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. He is alone. He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave, servant, and his final messenger and prophet. May the peace and blessings of Allah ever be upon him. As the brother stated earlier, my name is Bilal Stroud. I am the imam leading the community of Masjid al-Ba'ith here in Atlanta, Georgia. Masjid al-Ba'ith is a new community here in Atlanta. And mashallah, about almost 3 years ago now, a brother asked me to serve as the imam of a new community. One day, him and I were sitting around and we were talking about the condition of our people and what needs to happen to resurrect our people and to bring our people to a new state of awareness. And he said, brother, why don't you head up that mission, you know, here in Atlanta? So I was asked from him, and other people asked me to serve in the capacity of an imam here in Atlanta. And over the years, many people have referred to me as such, but I never, you know, told everybody that I was an imam, you know. So I decided to step in a few years ago and to serve my people in that position. And for those of you who don't know, Allah calls himself in the Quran by many names. Allah says he's Al-Rahim, he's the most merciful. Allah says he's Al-Hakim, he's the most wise. And Allah also calls himself Al-Ba'ith. Allah says he's Al-Ba'ith. He's the one that resurrects the dead. He brings the living from the dead. So I decided to myself that I was going to formulate a ministry, so to speak, an effort to resurrect my people in America, new African people, those who identify as descendants of Africans that were enslaved and forcibly brought to the United States. My goal, my job, my mandate is to help in the resurrection of our people spiritually, economically, mentally, physically, in every way possible. All praises before Allah. I became a Muslim when I was 18. This is back in 1991. I'm showing my age now. And over the years, I've been involved in Islamic propagation, activism on different levels. And I just decided a few years ago, brother, I said, you know what? Instead of me sitting here complaining about what's not going on, it's time to jump in with both feet and do what needs to be done to help resurrect our people. And here I am by Allah's grace.
True indeed. You know, that's a good presentation. You know what I'm saying? What I find interesting about a lot of things is that I was talking about the history day in regard, the history of the week in regards to Alice Haley coming out of the Roots. And I see in your bio, you saying that it was one of your inspiration when you introduced, when you first started to move with the series Roots, right? And that introduced you to Malcolm X, Dennis Farrakhan, and Gabriel Prosser, and other individuals, right? You know,
that's correct.
You know, and thing I want to know in regards to that particular development, what actually led you to Islam, especially our Islam, when you were looking at people at the foundation of Islam? What led you to that particular aspect of things?
You know, that's a very good question. I remember when I was, like I said, I was 15 years of age, and I'll take it back further. When I was about, 8 or 9 years old, my parents sat me down and showed me the movie Roots for the first time. And at the time, you know, I was a young man, I was a young boy, and that movie really went right over my head, to be honest with you. You know, I didn't really understand all the intricacies about it because, honestly speaking, in my house, my parents did not discuss a lot of Black history and things of that nature in my home. They did not. That was something that wasn't necessarily talked about or brought up in my house, to be honest with you. And then at the age of 15, I saw Roots again at the age of 15. By that time, I was, you know, more aware and things like that. And after coming away from that movie, I said to myself, I must dedicate myself to find out more about my history of my people and what's going on. And I said to myself, this Caucasian must be the devil. I mean, he has to be the devil. Anyone doing that, he has to be the devil. So I started going by the library, reading different books on Black history all I could. And then back in 1988, again, I was still 15, a friend of mine came over to my parents' house, and his name was Victor. And Victor told me, he said, hey, man, I got this tape. Because back in those days, we had audio cassette tapes. He said, I have this tape of this rap group. You got to check it out. I said, what's going on? He said, this group is called Public Enemy. I said, Public Enemy? Who are they? So he let me listen to the tape. And I was flabbergasted. And I heard names and people that I never heard of before. Again, I was raised here in Atlanta, Georgia. This is the belt. This is the buckle of the Bible Belt. For me growing up, during Black History Month, only thing I knew about was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, and Harriet Tubman. Pretty much, that's all I heard. Now, this is 1988. This is 1988. These are all the names I've, you know, heard of. And then when I started hearing about people called Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan and Gabriel Prosser and Nat Turner and Denmark Vesey, I'm like, whoa, who are these people? So I started going to the library. And look, this is 1988. And when I heard Brother Malcolm for the first time, I said, oh, my God, who is this man? And as they say, I went down a rabbit hole. And it went from there. And then Minister Louis Farrakhan came to, at the time, was the Omni Coliseum here in Atlanta back in 1989. And I went there that night with the intention of joining the Nation of Islam that particular night. And what Minister Farrakhan was saying was the straight truth. But I felt a little bit uncomfortable when he started talking about white people. I was like, I know what this white man has done, but I'm not really sure. I wasn't ready to accept everything that he was saying. So I let it go. So when I went my first year in college, I went to Savannah State College in Savannah, Georgia. It just, Allah made it where my roommate was a Muslim. And I met him, we hit it off, and we became best friends, good friends. His name was Jason Russell. May Allah bless brother Jason Russell. At the time, I was 17. My freshman year, I was 17. Jason's about 21, 20, something like that. And we became very close friends. And we started talking about Islam. We started debating about Islam in the dorm room about Allah, who is Allah, who is God, and all these different things. And we started debating and going back and forth. And when Jason would go to class, I would go on his side of the room and secretly read the Quran. He had books. He had the Holy Quran on his side of the dorm room. And I would go back and read and read his books. He didn't know I was doing that. And we would stay up all night debating about, because at the time, I was a Christian. You know, I was a Christian. We were debating all night about religion. And then one day, this brother named Siddiqui. Siddiqui, if you out there, brother, may Allah bless you. Siddiqui's from New York City. He came down to Savannah, Georgia, and Jason introduced Siddiqui to me. And at that time, everybody called me Black Man. That was my nickname on campus. Everybody called me Black Man. And I was in a room. Jason was in a room, and Siddiqui came to the room, the dorm room. And Jason said, Black Man, this is a good brother right here, Brother Siddiqui. Brother Siddiqui, this is Black Man. I said, hey, what's up, Siddiqui? And Siddiqui looked me up and he looked me down. And he looked at me. He said, Black Man, before this school year is out, you're going to be a Muslim. I said, what? He said, before this school year is out, you're going to be a Muslim. I said, no, sir. And I said, let's forget all that, man. Leave me alone. And Siddiqui grabbed me. He jumped on me. He said, you're going to be a Muslim before this school year's out. And we started tussling and wrestling right there in the dorm room. And Jason and Siddiqui jumped on my back and said, you're going to be a Muslim. You're going to be a Muslim. And they were laughing, but I was getting upset because I felt that my personal faith was being challenged. And then Jason used to take me to the mosque in Savannah, Georgia. He would take me to the mosque for Friday prayers. Ramadan came around. I started fasting with Jason. And I mean, I wasn't fasting. I would get up and watch the brother's time. I was dating this young sister down in Savannah, Georgia. I was dating her, and I told her, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm not sure if I'm going to be a Muslim or not. And I told her I was thinking about it. And she said, brother, you can forget it. I'm not walking behind you, brother. I said, sister, that's not Islam. That's a cultural practice, sister, you know, and everything. So I thought about it long and hard. I debated within myself. And then during Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan in 1991, I decided to become a Muslim that day, and I was 18 at the time. So now I'm 48 by Allah's grace, and I became a Muslim at that moment. And so that was, 30 years ago. So praise be to Allah, here I am. Serving my people to the best of my ability through my ministry, through my calling my people to Islam. But I know not all of my people are going to be Muslim, and I know that. But I'm here for all of our people, whether they Muslim or not. And so I'm here to work on with our people, whether it be Muslims, whether it may be Christians, whether it may be spiritualists or whatever. It doesn't matter. We're united by who we are, by a common geographical location with a common enemy. And that's why I'm here. That's the purpose of my calling. I feel like I have a calling to help lift up my people here in the United States.
True indeed. I understand you're a motivation speaker. How exactly do you get into motivation speaking?
Well, alhamdulillah, when I became a Muslim at 18, I transferred and I went on to go to Georgia State University. And when I got there, I was still a relatively new Muslim, and there was no Muslim Students Association on campus. It was dormant. It was nothing like that. And we were looking for a place to hold Friday prayers there on the campus, and there was nothing like that going on. So myself and some other brothers got together, and we revitalized the Muslim Students Association. And so we needed people to speak to give the weekly Friday sermon, so I was asked to do it. And I started giving the sermon there on campus to the brothers and sisters. And here I am, 18, 19, giving a sermon, a new Muslim. But I had to say what I felt was right. And so that began my efforts in speaking publicly. And I've never been afraid of speaking publicly in front of, you know, large groups of people. So many of my lectures are online. You can find them on YouTube, Facebook. You can find them. And people just invite me to school, or I would volunteer to go inside the jails and talk to the brothers and sisters, and I would just speak to them, had to give them a word of encouragement, mixed in with my Islamic propagation, because at the end of the day, I'm still a Muslim. So I have to do that. But all the some of the greatest motivating stories can be found in the scriptures. Some of the greatest stories you can find are found in the Quran and in the Bible and the previous books. You can glean great stories of motivation from the story of Moses and David and Noah and Abraham and Muhammad, all of them. May Allah's peace and blessing upon all the prophets. So this is what I pull from. So when someone asks me to come speak, I always try to weave in those Quranic and biblical and Old Testament stories to the people so that they can learn aspects of self-reliance, motivation, doing for self, etc.
Okay. You know, what actually inspires you to declare a new African citizen, considered a new African? What inspired you to do so? What pulled you to that aspect of things?
I'm not really sure the exact moment, but somehow or another I stumbled on the Republic of New Africa on YouTube. There was this brother, his name is Haki. I don't remember the brother's full name right now, but I saw a video of him one day. I believe that to me is the brown skinned brother. I just saw him on YouTube one day. And I said, what is this? And he started talking about the history of the Republic of New Africa. And I said, oh, my God, why don't more of our people know about this? Don't they know what this devil has done? Don't they know what he's continuously doing to us? I mean, this is, to be honest with you, to be independent, self-reliant, removing yourself from an oppressive situation is in the Quran. It's in the scriptures. This is exactly what Moses, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, this is exactly what he did with the children of Israel. He told Pharaoh, worship the one God, Allah, and let my people go. Let my people go. He knew he could never get justice on the Pharaoh's rule. He knew he couldn't do it. So after calling Pharaoh to the one true God, to worship him and him alone with no partners, the next thing was, let's get out of here. Let's separate. Let's leave Pharaoh. And so when God gave him the order to do, he made the exodus. So to sit somewhere and to allow yourself to be used, oppressed, mistreated, segregated, is not from our way in Islam. It's not from our way. Islam teaches us that if you're being oppressed, mistreated, and abused, either you fight against the oppression, or you remove yourself totally from the situation, what we call hijra. Hijra means to migrate, basically, from one place to another so that you can worship Almighty God in peace. So this is what Moses did. Moses made hijra. Muhammad made hijra. You see, this is what they did. So it's not our way to sit somewhere and live under an oppressive situation to be murdered, killed, mistreated. When Muhammad was being, him and his followers were being mistreated in Mecca, he told the Muslims, let's go, let's leave. And they went to Abyssinia. They went to Ethiopia, where it was ruled by a Christian king, and his name was His name was Najashi. Najashi was a Christian ruler who allowed the Muslims to stay amongst them in peace to get away from oppression in Mecca. And then from there, they went to Medina. So this is part of our teaching. So when I heard about the Republic of New Africa, I said, brother, that makes all the sense in the world. That makes all the sense in the world. Trust and believe.
True indeed.
Yes, sir.
You know,
yes, sir.
I'll ask you more about your movement that you're pushing, your campaign called Project 2050. What were your reasons for founding and coordinating this particular project? What exactly is it?
Well, alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah. As the brother stated, I'm the founder of an effort called Project 2050. Okay. Brother Romani, listen. Everybody listening to the sound of my voice knows at one time or another, either been married or you've been involved in a relationship with somebody. You had a girlfriend, you had a boyfriend, or you've been married, or you are married. Okay, and, you know, when people get together in a relationship, sometimes things don't go right. Sometimes things go sour. Anytime you evolve in a relationship or a marriage that turns toxic, mean-spirited, there's abuse involved, there's lying involved. You know, you can sit there and talk it out and get some counseling. You could talk it out and get some counseling, right? Or if it continues, if the mistreatment, abuse, if that thing continues, then the marriage has really turned toxic and eventually is going to lead into a divorce. A divorce. Both parties agree to separate on equitable means. And so here we are in the United States. We were brought here against our will. This is not a relationship that we wanted. We were brought here against our will. And this relationship with this Caucasian has been mean-spirited. It's been abusive. He's lied, deceived us. So we want a divorce. We want a divorce. There's no harm in that. So I came up with the concept of Project 2050. And what I'm saying is, I'm calling all of my people, those who identify as new African people, descendants of Africans that were forcibly enslaved and brought to the United States, what people, some people call African Americans or ADOS or SBA, or new African people. I'm encouraging all of us to migrate by the year 2050 to the states of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, Tennessee, this whole particular region, come to this region by the year 2050, because the time of divorce is at hand. I believe that America is under divine judgment for her mistreatment and oppression of our people. I believe that our people are from the seed of Abraham. May Allah's peace be upon him. And because of that, Allah gave a promise to Prophet Abraham. If we look in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, Allah was speaking to his very close friend, Abraham. May Allah's peace be upon him. And Allah revealed to Abraham, he said, "Know without a doubt, Abraham, that your seed will be in a strange land among strange people for a period of 400 years. They will be enslaved and mistreated. After that time, I will come, and I will judge that nation in which they shall serve. And they will come out, and they will live with great sustenance." I believe that their prophecy refers specifically to new African people, or African Americans, or ADOS, or FBA, however you want to term yourself. I believe that that prophecy speaks specifically to us. So now I believe that America is under divine judgment. The coronavirus, wildfires out west, extreme blizzard-like conditions, the killing off of honeybees, all these insects going everywhere, tornadoes. I believe all of this is part of divine judgment upon this nation, and that the white man specifically is under divine judgment for his abuse, his arrogance, his treatment, not only of our people, New African people, but for the Mexican people, because did he not steal huge portion of Mexican territory from the Mexican people, got involved in the unjust Mexican-American war? President James Polk, isn't that what he did? Did he not go into Hawaii and take the land from the Hawaii people? And for those of you who like Dole pineapple, you better check who Mr. Dole is. Check Mr. Dole, the pineapple man. Check his history. So the check his history in Hawaii, his involvement in stealing the land from the Hawaiian people. So because of the mistreatment of the Hawaiian people, the Mexican people, our native brothers and sisters here, and our people, all of that specifically is why I believe America is under divine judgment, and that it is our people's responsibility now to separate from our historical oppressor, our historical enemy. So that's why I said, now, I give you 30 years. By the year 2050, come out. Come out of California. Come out of New York. Come out of Wisconsin, Minnesota. Come out of Vermont. If there's any black people in Vermont. Come out of Pennsylvania. Come out of all these states and come to Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, Tennessee. Come out and come to this region with the purpose of owning and controlling this region for us. You want to get married to a woman? Marry her and bring her to this region. You want to run for political office? Run for office in this region. You want to start a business or a school? Start a business or a school in this region. We must combine our political and economic power into one concentrated region with the purpose, the overall arching purpose, is complete sovereignty, have a nation of our own, because we will never, ever, ever receive justice under the white man's rule. Now, again, I want everybody to know, I do not hate white people. We don't hate them. They are a creation of Allah, like any one of us. But there's an old saying in Islam, Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, he told us that a Muslim is not bitten in the same hole twice. A Muslim is not bitten in the same hole twice. So that, you ever heard the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, what? Shame on me. So what about a person that has fooled you consistently for 300 plus years? Can you really trust him? I'm sorry, we can't trust you. We want a divorce. It's toxic, mean-spirited, abusive. You've murdered, killed, lied. We no longer want to be under your rule. We want to be separate from you. So by the year 2050, come to this region. It's too cold up there anyway, brother. It's too cold in New York. The only reason you find out people in these states was the promise of jobs at the turn of the century, right or wrong. That's the only reason you see us up there. We are some people. We don't do well in cold. I saw a forecast the other day out there of the Minnesota, negative 34 degrees. What? That's crazy. So Project 2050 urges our people to move to this set region for ourselves. We're some people. And to this day, the vast majority of our people still live in this region. And I also encourage all of our Hispanic brothers and sisters, those of you listening who may be of Mexican origin, I encourage you to migrate to Texas, Arizona, Nevada, California, New Mexico, Arizona. That's your region. That's Mexico anyway. Go there in mass. Go there in mass and pull your economic and political power into that region. If you are from the Bahamas, if you're from the Caribbean, if you're from Haiti, if you're from Jamaica, if you're from the Puerto Rico, Curacao, Caribbean area, Guyana, those Caribbean nations, I encourage you to migrate to the state of Florida. Go to Florida. Migrate there. So if you're Jamaican, Puerto Rican, Haitian, if you're from the Caribbean, migrate to Florida. Migrate there. Pull your economic and political power into one region. And let the white man have all the states from Maryland all the way up to Vermont. From Maryland up to Vermont, over to Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, all that whole area right there. Let the white man have that. That's his area. It's too cold up there anyway, brother. Let him have it. Let him have it. And the native people, the native people, let them populate the states of Washington State, Oregon, Oklahoma, the Dakotas, populate that middle part of this nation. Because they've also caught hell living on these reservations, brother. My family and I, we went out to New Mexico a few months ago, brother, and we saw the reservations out there and what the white man has relegated them to. That's a shame and a disgrace, brother. If anybody sees these reservations, you think you living in a, quote, unquote, third world country. See? So I encourage the native people to populate that area of the country, And I'm telling our people to come back here. Now, for those people who may be of Asian descent, like Japanese, Chinese, Pakistanis, Indians, or what have you, I'm sorry, you're not native to this land. You know, you're not. So you have to fall in wherever you fall in. More likely, they probably fall in where the white man lives. Because men, when they come here, they go live right around white people. Right or wrong? Right or wrong, brother? Am I telling the truth or not? They want to live where white people live. They don't want to live in the hood where we live.
No.
What was that? What was that, brother?
I said, you speaking a lot of truth, my brother.
What was that, brother?
I said, you speaking a lot of truth, brother.
What you say,
speaking
brother?
Speaking a lot of truth.
Oh, yes, sir.
Speaking
yes,
a
sir.
Lot of truth,
so
brother.
Let them go to the areas where white people live. Again, Maryland all the way to Vermont, let the white man have it. Vermont all the way, that upper portion, let them have it. Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Minnesota, Wisconsin, let them have that. Let them have that. And let the native brothers have that middle region. Again, Washington State, Oregon, you know, present-day Seattle, Oklahoma, the Dakotas, Colorado, all that belongs to the native population. And again, brother, I don't know, the first time I went to California, brother, I was like, oh, my God, the Hispanic, Mexican brothers, this sister's got it on lock, brother. Like, you a minority, black man. You a minority in Texas. You a minority in California. You a minority in Arizona. You don't have no real political or economic power. Come out. Come out. Let the Mexican people have that. And you come back home and pull your economic power and political power into one concentrated region for yourself with the end purpose of complete sovereignty. Now, let me make it clear. I believe in my heart that Allah will come to our aid, because Allah always comes to the aid of the oppressed. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace be upon him, has told us that there is no barrier between the prayer of the oppressed and Allah. So Allah responds to the prayer and the help of the oppressed person, whether it be Muslim or not. Let me make it clear. You could be a fire worshiper. You could be whatever you want to be. If you are oppressed, Allah comes to your aid. And I believe Allah is bringing judgment upon his nation, and the white man is specific. So you got to get out of his way. You got to get out of your way. So we have to come out. So we talk about a physical separation. Again, by the year 2050, I give you 30 years, brother. Get yourself together. You got 30 years to come out of California, Seattle. You know, I mean, I read the other day in the I think Portland, Oregon, I think less than 4% of the population of Portland, Oregon is black. Less than like 5%. Why would black people want to live in an area where you less than 6% of the population? You have no real power. You have no real economic or political power. Come out of there. And come home. Join forces with people who look like you, who feel like you. Come out of there and come back to Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, Virginia, Tennessee, That whole area belongs to you. Claim it for yourself. This is nothing. There's nothing illegal about this. This moving man. Can't nobody. And when the white man see you coming, he gonna leave. He gonna leave. He don't want to be around you. He don't want to live around you. When he see you coming, he leaves. So you become the sheriff. You become the police chief. You become the mayor. You become the governor. You put yourself in power. Because you look foolish going in there protesting and marching Black Lives Matter, asking this devil for justice. He ain't giving to you yet. Let the Lord deal with him. Let's focus on us. Do you understand? Let the Lord deal with him. He hasn't changed yet. He's not going to change. That's why I don't go to Black Lives Matter protest. That's why I don't support it. Because you want to waste time marching and protesting for somebody who's not going to give you justice. Let me ask you a question, Brother Bumani. What if I told you that there was a sister in high school? Let's say there's a sister in high school. Here I am in ninth grade. We'll call her Jessica. Here I am in ninth grade, and I got a crush on Jessica. I write Jessica love notes. I go by her locker. I like heart emoji, all her stuff on social media. I ask her on a date, she say no. I keep asking for a date, she say no. I go by her house, ask her to come out and talk to me, she say no. 10th grade, sophomore year, social media, sending her notes in her locker. I'm asking her, please go on a date with me. 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, doing the exact same thing. At what point do I realize that Jessica does not want me? She's ignored me. She won't answer my calls. But I keep wondering that maybe one day she'll change. Maybe one day she'll go on a date with me, brother. But she won't. And I look like a fool. And that's exactly what our people look like in America. That's why nobody takes you seriously. Because you keep asking the same people for justice. These are the people who have lynched us, burned us alive, burned us, raped our men, women, and children. Now they want to give you some kind of crazy vaccine claiming it's going to help you for some sort of illness. Really? You trust him? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on us, on me. So the shame is on all of us, brother. It's time for a divorce. We want a divorce. We want a divorce. And you saw what happened the other day in D.C.? You saw the white man go up there and some black people were there. Why is there a black man in D.C. storming the Capitol, brother? You have no business there. You have no businesses at the nation's capital. They don't care about you. Those are white supremacists. But you saw the white man storm the nation's capital, urinate, smoking weed, smear feces all on the walls, on camera, on Instagram. And what they do? They came right out and went back home. That should tell you that there's a law system for them and a law system for you. Had that been you and I, they would have bombed the whole place. Right or wrong?
It would have violated them.
These are signs Allah is showing you. It's time for a divorce. Divorce him. So we have to divorce him spiritually. Divorce him economically. Divorce him physically. Divorce him materially in all aspects. Leave him. Let him be. The judgment is on him. His birth rate is zero. His birth rate is zero. And the reason why they keep claiming, and I'm going to let you respond, the reason why they keep claiming that black people die disproportionately from this coronavirus, we're not the target. We're not the target. See, many of us have to work because of economic disparities that the white man has put us in. So we are forced to work. They told us last year to stay home. Then they asked us to stay home. But the rent still is due. The mortgage is still due. The bills are still coming due. But you want us to stay home. You see? So we have to go to work. And because we have to go to work, because we live in poor housing, because we have poor sanitation, and because we live in areas where we get substandard food, China rice king and J.J. fried fish, and we eat all this garbage, our immune system is weakened, and we're getting sick from the virus. But the virus was not intended for you. It was intended for him. But, you know, just like, what they call it, collateral damage. You know how you got a pistol and you try to shoot somebody and somebody jump in the way and they get shot too? That's how you are. You keep coming in the way. You keep falling in the way. The judgment is on him, not you. But you got caught up because you won't leave him. You won't leave him. And because you won't leave him, now Allah is whipping your tail with the coronavirus and everything else. Come out of her, my people. Come out. Come out. Come to Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South and North Carolina, Virginia, and Tennessee. Come out. I give you 30 years, 2050. Get your act together and come out. I'll let you respond.
True indeed, brother. You know, I'm just listening to what you're saying. A lot of things you're saying make sense, especially in regards to the predicaments that we face in regard to the oppression, the suppression that we've been going through since we've been here. Brought over as a human shelter of slaves, brought over as a political prisoner chained in shackles. A lot of it makes sense, and especially in regards to seeking independence, self-determination. Self-determination is something that naturally innately within us, right? And sometimes I like it's just like the people of Kenya, you know, the Freedom of Land Army, that what the Europeans people call the Maimais. They actually believe from the Kikuyu tribe, they actually believe that Mount Kilimanjaro, the land of Kenya, was ordained to them by the Creator. And by anything ordained to you by the Creator, you have a right to fight. You know what I'm saying? That's given to you by nature. That's not part of your natality, right? So it wasn't nowhere in the world in their mind that they're gonna let the British people take anything from them. Or even taint their culture, their politics, their ideology, or weaken them up, or cause them to be separated or divide and conquer, anything like that going on. So everything you're saying is very compatible in regards to history, our particular narrative. It's very compatible, you know what I'm saying, to our ideology of new Africans, you know what I'm saying, to build a new African nation. It's very compatible in regards to educating our people, having our own school, controlling, operating our own communities, having our own doctors and everything else, because that's exactly what they have did. That's exactly what everybody else had did in other different nations. Did the same exact thing. That's why you had Chinatown, Koreatown, Haiti, you know what I'm saying, other places around the globe that are specifically populated by certain people or certain nationalities and what they identify with. In order to have that political power, economic power, and all the other powers that you mentioned and talk about. So everything is right on time. Right on time, especially in regards to, like, the ideology aspect of things within itself, right? And like you said, you know, the Quran teaches a Muslim or a Muslima to fight against oppression. Who may be oppressing you? Be a power, be a system, be a person, be a entity. Be a thought form or whatever, you know, to stop the oppressing you. So all that makes sense, right? And again, I like to thank you for coming to our broadcast to show you knowledge with understanding. I like to thank you for the work that you're doing in the community as an imam, as a leader in the community, an imam and a leader. You know what I'm saying? So thank you for inspiring other Muslims and Muslims to be new Africans and inspired to look into self-determination and independence. And I would like to salute you for your work. You know, and then at this time, I'm actually about to open a line for a couple of callers. They can join the dialogue, you know, ask a question, make statements. Just share your thoughts as well. I'm about to open a line for a few callers, brother. Is that okay with you?
Yes, sir, brother. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Yeah, brother, go ahead, brother. You're trying to build a nation. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. 562. 508. You have a question, comment for the call. Please do it at the time. 562-508. Your line is open. Your line is open. Okay, let me go to another call. Okay. 901-292. Your line is open. You have a question, comment, or statement. Please do it for this time. Your line is open. 901-292. Your line is open.
Free the land.
Free the land, sister. Free the land. Go ahead, sister.
I am. I will. All right. Imam, assalamu alaikum. I appreciate all of your comments and well, your passion. I'm in total agreement with your program to bring new Africans to the national territory because it is definitely in line with the goals and objectives of the Republic of New Africa. It is very much in line for us to seize not only political but economic control of the five states in the South and to be in harmony with the indigenous of the land, which are the Moors. And we are very, very happy to know that other people who practice spiritualities are in alignment with our Declaration of Independence and the Code of Umoja, because we are trying to bring balance back to the earth by making sure that African people, new African people, understand that we do have the right, the human right, to claim the five states of the South. My question to you would be, since you are part of the New African Independence Movement to declare land and sovereignty, are you in agreement with putting in all the principles of Ma'at, truth and justice, righteousness, law, reciprocity, into this struggle so we have the right to define ourselves and to live on this land and to create an economic and a social and a political system that is totally opposed to capitalism, imperialism, white supremacy, and racism? And I yield. This is Mama Ayo, Vice President of the Republic of New Africa.
Absolutely, sister. Absolutely. 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 I don't know if you heard me. Absolutely. Let me give you an example. I was talking to a young lady today. All right? And we were talking about how coronavirus, they told people to stay home. Stay home. They did. But because they're so money hungry, so greedy for money, and that's what capitalism is. Capitalism is a political system based on the acquisition of money. They don't care about your circumstance. They don't care about what's going on at home. Their job is to make money, end, period, full stop. So you told us to stay home, but the rent hasn't been frozen. The mortgage is not frozen. The utility bills are piling up. Now I saw on the news that literally thousands and thousands of people have received eviction notices. This could all be stopped. All they should have done was said, look, everybody stay home for 3 or 4 months, quarantine, Instacart, Uber Eats going to bring your food. We're going to freeze the mortgage, freeze all the rent, freeze utilities. That sounds too much like right. But because you're so greedy and so power hungry, you don't see nothing but an acquisition of money. So any that is set up and designed to help the people, to genuinely help the people, you have every right to set that up and want to be a part of it. All praises are for Allah. Next question. Go ahead.
So when we talk about the Republic of New Africa, we're trying to remember who we are as an African people, our history, our culture, our practices of marriage and rites of passage and all of that. And then we talk about an economic system because we're not talking about, we're trying to talk about more cooperative economics, being able to manufacture and build on the land, have the right to, trade with the Caribbean, trade with Africa, to trade with Cuba, to trade with Brazil, because those are where our people were dropped off as new African people. And at the same time, to defend what we have declared as our nation. I want to know if you are in agreement that as Muslims we have to enter into these scientific practices, because it is a different way of life that our people have to be introduced to, because capitalism has been embedded, imprinted, raped, and sodomized into us for over 400 years. How do we begin to teach ourselves, our people, to shed the, as you say, coming out of old Pharaoh and being able to create a whole new reality for ourselves, Brother Imam? I yield.
Well, sister, the first thing and foremost, you have to encourage the people to have a different thinking, a different mindset. And we have to, you know, it's one thing to migrate to this region, and that's a good thing. But the first migration is a migration of the mind. And any political or economic system, that doesn't directly contradict Islamic principles, I'm down like four flat tires. There's nothing wrong with cooperative economics. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with trading with different nations. Nothing wrong with defending the land that you want for yourself. There's no harm in that. All these isms, these are man-made systems, capitalism, communism. You know, it's all made by the oppressor. This is what he put in place. So it's obvious that capitalism does nothing to help our people. We have to come out. We have to come out of it. So for those of us who feel this way, the first coming out is the coming out of the mind. You have to see yourself as a people that have been unjustly treated. And you have to see this man as your historical oppressor. He is your historical oppressor. Once you come to that knowledge, once you understand that, easy for us, for you to join the Republic of New Africa or join the Project 2050, which is in harmony with that. It's easy. But it's the first coming out is the coming out of the mind. So this is what I teach. I mean, yes, I am a man. I'm a Muslim. This is what I teach. And this is why Masjid al-Ba'ith, for those of you who just joined the program, Allah says in the Quran, one of Allah's names is al-Ba'ith. He is the one that resurrects the dead. You see, like every year there's a winter, the trees die, and then in the spring they come back to life again. So Allah says he's the one that brings life to the dead. So my goal, my purpose is to bring life to a dead people who are spiritually, economically, mentally, morally dead. I have to go to them and show them. And this is what I'm all about. This is my calling. This is my mandate. So, again, sister, to answer your question, any effort that you just described earlier, there's no harm in it. It's good. You have the right to self-determination like any other people on the face of this planet. And matter of fact, we are more justified in asking for self-reliance and self-determination based on what we have gone through. Kroger store right now. If I go to Kroger and pick up a bottle of juice, and I start drinking it without paying for it, what is that called? That's called stealing. And so if I drink the bottle of juice and I drop it on the ground and shatter the bottle to a million pieces, what is the manager going to tell me? You broke it, you bought it, right? You broke it, you bought it. So you handled that bottle, and you dropped it, so now you're responsible. You got to clean that up. So here's our oppressor right now. He's broken the entire people. We didn't ask to come here. He didn't ask us if he wanted to come here. He didn't try to enter into an agreement for us to come here to work. He brought us here against our will, and he broke us as a people. So he is morally responsible, but he won't do it because he's blinded by his arrogance. So therefore, for us to sit around and wait for him to come to some sort of moral conclusion is the exercise in futility. That's why we say, come out of her. Come out, because the judgment is on this nation and on this Caucasian person in specific. They are under judgment, and our people will get some of the judgment, too, from under him. If you follow his ways, you follow his customs, you follow what he do, you will get the same judgment as well. But you are not the target. That's what I'm trying to say. We are not the target of the judgment. It's him. But because you want to remain with him, because you want to be with him, because you adopt his morals and his code, because you adopt his system as your own, when the judgment is on, you also get it. I hope I make myself clear.
Yes, Brother Imam, you certainly do, and I'm very happy to hear that you have made statements about the very first challenge is to make sure we are psychologically, mentally ready for that change to be intentional. So I very, very much appreciate your wonderful words, and I yield for the next person. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Go ahead, brother. What's the next question?
Okay, let me open the next line up, good brother. Hold up. Nine zero one five seven zero. Your line is open. You got a question coming for the guest. Please defer the time or any announcement. Your line is open. 901-570. Your line is open.
Free the land. How you doing this evening?
Free the land.
Free the land, sister. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. This is President Fama Ott with the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa. I wanted to say to you and to any other listeners that, you know, within the Provisional Government, we have a specific infrastructure set up to welcome new Africans into our government through a unit study structure, where within that particular process, if you want to become a new African, a conscious new African citizen, you go into a unit study with 3 to 5 people or more, and you go through the transformation process of becoming new African, and going through that mental transformation that's necessary. Because literally, when we say we want to build new Africa, we want to come to the 5 states, we have to, if we're saying we're rebuilding something or building something totally different, totally free from all the negative things that we've experienced here in the United States, in the United States of America, we have to go through that process. That's a process, because that's 400 years of conditioning, generation after generation after generation. And we don't want to build the same exact system. So we go through work, study, and training as new Africans coming in, and we continuously do that. Everything happens from that unit structure. So my question to you is, would you, as a new African citizen, be willing to go through that process? Are you?
Absolutely. I have no problem with that at all. I have no problem with that at all. Any effort that is generally designed to resurrect our people, absolutely. I have no problem with that.
Okay, so I'm going to get information from Brother Bomani. I'll be in contact with you very soon.
Good. May Allah make things easy for you. Thank you, sister.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. I appreciate you. You got anything else to say, sir? President Samad? You got anything else you want to say? You want to get the people a little understanding about the new African Nation Day? My new African Nation Day?
Okay, yeah, I can go into that. But first, I of course would like to invite any other new Africans on the phone that are seriously want to build our black nation on a serious level and be a part of that process, because it is a process. It's not going to happen out of osmosis. We have to put the work in. If you seriously are interested, 100% committed. You got to be 100% committed. You know, get in contact with Brother Bomani so that we can get in contact with you. We do have a new African Nation Day coming up soon. If you want to know more about that process, we will be going over what that process looks like. That's kind of what our new African Nation Day recent years have been to, in terms of rebuilding that infrastructure that we need to build our nation. Okay, so if you are interested in finding out more about the Provisional Government, Republic of New Africa, where we are currently, we do have New African Nation Day coming up March 26th through the 28th. It will be online. You can register at Eventbrite. You can go to pg-rna.com to find out more information in terms of the link. You can go on Eventbrite and type in MAND, N as in Nancy, A, N as in Nancy, D, MAND, acronym for New African Nation Day, 53, and then you can go ahead and register on there. But, yeah, it'll be an excellent opportunity to find out more, see where we are at in terms of our rebuilding.
Okay. I appreciate it, sister. I appreciate that. Free land.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You want to open the line for another call, Iman.
Okay, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
614-285. You have a question coming for the guest. You want me to state your line is open? 614-285. Your line is open.
Hooray, RD. Free the land. This is Elder Mama Kandi.
How are you doing, sister?
That's just too long a response to give right now. So I'm going to just proceed with what I wanted to say.
Go ahead, sister. I have
been a conscious citizen of the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa since before it officially became a government. And we started out in units. I am a citizen of the UNIA Garvey movement and nation, and I'm a citizen of the Ouachita Moores nation. I learned about those things when I was a preteen and a teen in North Philly. To listen to you speak, my brother, today, at this time, lets those of us from back in the day know that our living and our work is not in vain. I also appreciate hearing you speak up as one who embraces Islam and who is a Muslim. I am an African transcending cosmogonist. We have new Africans who are Christians, new Africans who are Moors, new Africans who are Garveyites, new Africans who are African spiritual traditionalists. We have new Africans who are Budunists. We have new Africans who are Santeria, Kadomble, Makumba, Baya. The point that is made here is that we're all black, we're all African, and we all suffer under the same imperialism and oppression and white supremacy, and we all have the same enemy, and we all have the same, as Africans, we all have the same melanin moral standard from which we are born. I'm real glad to hear a brother who embraces Islam and is a Muslim who aspires and espouses the exact same sentiment and uses the same tools for liberation and freeing our people. I am proud of you. I am extremely proud of you. And I thank you. I yield. I'm Elder Mama Kandi.
Thank you so much, my sister. Man, wow. All praises before Allah. Thank you so much, sister. I hope everybody understood what I said earlier. Yes, that is my path. I am a Muslim. But like I said, not all of my people are Muslim. So we have people who are Christian. Like your sister said, Christian, different faith traditions is no problem. But we all, like she said, we all united because we have a common struggle, a common geographical location, a common experience against a common oppressor. That's it. I mean, to go to any other route is foolishness, because the enemy wants to see us divided. You know, we can, like, I think Brother Malcolm said, he said, leave your religion at home in the closet. Keep it between you and your God. He did say that. So that's my brother, and I love him, and I agree with him. Again, this is my ministry. My ministry is what it is. I call to what I call to. I'm an imam. I believe Islam has certain ethics and a framework by which my people can be resurrected. With that being said, I'm willing to work with any of our people, whether they agree with me or not, for the upliftment and the progression of our people. We need all hands on deck, so to speak. You know, when the captain is on the ship and he's, you know, the captain on the ship and the ship is under attack, he sends out general quarters. All hands on deck. So that means everybody for all the different decks, if you're in the galley, if you're in the engine room, if you're in the navigation room, if you are bed in the rack, you sleep in the rack, and you got to get up and get the general quarters, all hands on deck. He don't just say just the second deck come up. He don't say just the bottom deck. He's everybody. We in that situation right now. We under attack. And Allah knows best. Go ahead, brother. Next question.
Okay, brother. Adam, I'm kind of, did you have anything else to say, or you were finished?
One more small thing. One of the things that I love about being an African and a new African is that our spiritual systems, all of them, have avenging angels. So we have spiritual weapons that we can use in this fight, and not just physical weapons. In Ifa, there is Ogun. In Kemetic spiritual system, there is Heru Kahuti. In the Akan system out of Ghana, there is Brahmi and Tigare. What I love is, and the Most High have given us all the tools and weapons that we need, both on a spiritual plane and a physical plane, to fight this war and win. Tutashinda Agerha, we will win this war. I yield.
You know, sister, I just want to just comment on what you said. Again, this is deep. This is deep. This is deep. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he told us, he said, there is no barrier. There is no barrier between the oppressed and Allah. You see? So when the oppressed person called out to the Most High, when you call out, Allah answers that prayer. He comes to the aid of the oppressed. Imagine all the ancestors coming across on these ships by this enemy. You know they had to raise their hands up. And they asked the Most High God, whatever tradition they had, including Islam. And I believe what you're seeing right now in America is a culmination of those prayers, those du'as, those prayers to the Most High God that you're seeing right now. And I want to make it clear. At least from my perspective, this is from my perspective. I believe that the justice that we receive cannot be brought about from the barrel of a gun or what have you. Almighty God, Allah, is bringing his judgment upon this nation. And just as Allah saved the children of Israel in Egypt, in the Quran and in the Bible, when Allah told Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, they didn't have a standing army. They didn't even lift a spear, an arrow, a sword, or nothing. Allah took care of them, for them. Allah destroyed the oppressor on their behalf. You see, Allah sent, he sent the plagues. He sent the frogs and the locusts, turned the water into blood, all that for them, because they were oppressed people. And they put their trust in the Most High. And so Allah came to their aid. And I believe Allah is coming to our aid now. You see what's going on? Allah is showing you signs. He wants you to come out. He wants you to come out and do something for yourself. So as long as you remain patient and we follow the principles, those natural principles that we all have in us. In Islamic tradition, we call that the fitrah. The fitrah, meaning Allah created every single person with a natural, innate ability to know what's right and what's wrong. I don't even tell you it's wrong to steal. I don't even tell you it's wrong to shoot somebody in the head. You know that's innately, you know that's wrong. And so we call that in Islamic tradition fitrah. Allah created you with that natural inclination. You see? And I believe Allah is going to reward us, give us on our behalf from this enemy because of what they have done. We don't have jets. We don't have satellites. We don't have tanks. Allah is handling them right now. You just got to get out of the way. Get out of the way. Come out of her and focus on yourself. That's all I want to say.
Okay. Pretty land, brother. We actually got like 7 minutes left, right? I got one more question for you, and I want you to get your final thought. If a young Muslim comes to you asking about self-determination, what would you tell him, her, if she's a Muslim? What would you tell him or her about self-determination? What kind of information would you give them?
Tell them exactly what Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, told us. Let me tell you what he said. One day, a man came to Muhammad and asked him for money. So Muhammad gave him some money. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. He came back another time, asked him for money, and Muhammad went into his pocket and gave him some money. He came back a third time, sometime later, asking for more money because he was in need. And Muhammad gave him some money again. And then Muhammad told him, he said, it is better for you to gather firewood. It's better for you to get like an axe, gather firewood, and sell it on the street for money than for you to continue to ask from somebody who could give you or not give you. He said that. He said it's better for you to get some firewood and sell it and make your own money than ask and to keep asking people for something that they give you or may not give you. So he told us to be self-reliant and have self-determination and to do for self and to have your and maintain your in Arabic, izz means your honor, your dignity, to do that. This is the way of all the prophets. We see the exact same thing in the Bible. I don't know if you remember the story of Jesus in the New Testament. He came upon a healing pool. He came upon this. There was this pool, a healing pool full of water in the New Testament. And it said the tradition was that whoever found themselves in that pool would be healed from all sickness and all illnesses. So there was a certain time of the day that the angels would come down and they would tip their wing into this water and disturb the water in this pool. Whoever was the first one into the pool will be healed. You see, will be healed. So they were people sitting around this pool, people who were lame, paralyzed, sick, all kind of illnesses, sitting around this pool every day waiting for the waters to be disturbed. Whoever was the first one to get in the pool would be healed. So Jesus walked in one day. And there was a man laying on the ground. He had made himself like a bed. He made himself like a cot or a bed. And he was just waiting. And every time the water was disturbed, he was so weak, people would beat him into the water. Do you understand? People would beat him in the water. So he felt downtrodden. So Jesus asked him, what is wrong with you? He said, you know, I've been wanting to get into the water, but I have nobody to help me to get into the water. And people always beat me. And Jesus himself said, take up thy bed and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Get up and do something for yourself. And the man got up and he walked. So the fact that he wanted to do something for himself, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk and do something for yourself. Because he believed in Christ and he wanted to do something for himself. So whenever you want to do something for yourself, Allah will give you the power and the ability to do it. That's real talk. So we see that in the story of Moses. We see that in the story of Abraham. Abraham, may Allah's peace upon all the prophets of Allah. When you want to do something for yourself, Allah will come to your aid. He will come to the aid of those who want to do something for themselves. Anyway, that's what I would tell them. Sorry about that.
Okay.
That's what I would tell them.
Okay. It's all good, brother. It's all good. What are your final thoughts or final insight you want to leave us with? What you want to leave with?
Well, alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah. All the brothers and sisters listening, thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. I'm honored to be with all of you. If anyone wants to contact me, you can do so. My email address is bilal.stroud@gmail.com. That's bilal.stroud@gmail.com. B as in boy, I as in ivory, L as in Larry, A as in apple, L as in Larry, .stroud, S-T-R-O-U-D, @gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, and some of my lectures are also on YouTube. Please pray for me. Ask Allah to use me to liberate our people. And Masjid Abbaif is a small community here in Atlanta. We're very small. But my goal is to build a mosque, build a masjid here in Atlanta to deliver these same teachings to our people. That's what I'm about. That's what I'm doing. And I'm asking Allah to make it where I can do just that. So ask Allah, ask the Most High, to give me the financial ability to build this mosque so we can service our people here in Atlanta and continue to call them to this region by the year 2050. We got to put a time frame on it. That's why I said 2050. I said 30 years. Come out of her. Come out of California. That gives you plenty of time. So if you get married to a woman, have children with her, and bring her to this region. You want to start a business? Start a business here. You want to go to school? Find an HBCU? Come to this region and go to school. Set up shop here. Buy as much land as you can. Starting the business that you can, but do it in this region. To do it anywhere else in this nation is you diluting your power. You don't have enough power in the rest of this nation. You don't have it. The greatest concentration of our people is in Mississippi. Did you know that? Mississippi has the largest number of our people in one state is in Mississippi. We have Georgia. We have Atlanta, home of the largest you know, busiest airport in the world. We got the Carolinas. Our people are here. Our history is here. Come out of those other places. Let the white man have it. Let them have it. You do something for yourself. So please pray for me. Ask Allah to use me, to strengthen me. And to be honest with you, to be totally honest with you, brother, I can actually see myself. You know how you a fisherman. You know, you go out on the boat and you cast your line for fish. You know, you cast your line, you put the hook, you put the bait on it to catch the people, to catch the fish. And then once the fish bite the bait, you reel it in and put them in your basket so you can eat the fish later on. Is that right? So for me personally, I see myself as the person dropping the hook. I'm out here calling our people to come to the land, come to this region. That's what I do. I'm going out and I'm making a call. Come out of her. Now, once they come here, somebody else got to reel them in and put them in the basket. That's where the classes come in. That's where the brothers and sisters come in. I'm just telling you, it's time to come out. That's my mantra. It's to encourage you to come out. Now, once they come in, somebody else has got to put them in the basket. Somebody else has got to reel them in. I'm going to hook them. Somebody else has got to fillet them and fry them up. I can't do that. My job is to get them on the hook. do you understand what I'm saying? This is my mantra.
Yes, sir.
This is what I believe.
I understand perfectly well,
brother.
This
is what I believe, brother. This is real talk. May Allah make it easy for us. So if anybody else have any questions, concerns, comments, or corrections about anything they heard tonight, please, you can come in right now and do so before I yield the mic back to Brother Bomani. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or corrections about something you heard me say, you want to correct me, please do so now before I leave, inshallah. I'll open the flag. We give them about 3 minutes, Brother Bomani, and I just want to answer, you know, anybody have any questions, concerns, comments, or corrections, please do so now.
Nah, I don't see anybody. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna thank you for coming to our platform to share your knowledge, your understanding. I'm gonna thank you for the work that you contribute. I'm gonna thank you for the inspiration that you pushing out there. Thanks for you to be in that fisherman of men and women. You know, being that king fisher and fishing people in. And I want to thank you for spreading the education, the information, as well as propagating our objectives and goals and aims as new Africans, and what is educating the mind and mass of the people to what self-determinants look like, what it sounds like, you know what I'm saying, what it be about, as well as the aspect of our human divine human rights and our natural, our natality in regards to being liberated and free people. And again, I want to thank you for just for spreading the education. And if anyone have any loved one, associate, comrade, friend, relatives by enemy line, please link into our website, which is www.georgeuniversity.com. Again, it's www.georgeuniversity.com. Long live the resistance. Law New African Independent Movement, free our new African political prison, new African prison of war, free our new African captives. Long live the resistance and the struggle all for land and freedom. Peace.